Luke chapter 22. The message today is the regressive and repentant pilgrimage of Peter. Last week I told you about the progressive pilgrimage of Peter. This week, the regressive and repentant pilgrimage. And by the way, that big word, regressive, means just the opposite of progressive. To make progress is to go forward. To regress is to go backward. And so today, it is the regressive and repentant pilgrimage of Peter. I want to read just three passages and then bring to your attention, in the will of God, many others. So in Luke 22, verse 31, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you, that your faith fail not. And do thou, when thou art converted, establish thy brethren, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, with thee I am ready to go both to prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day until thou shalt three times deny that you know me. Now, look at verse 58. This is abbreviating the event. And after a little while, another saw him and said, you also are one of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. And after the space of about 1 hour, another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this man was with him, for he is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I am not what you say. I know not what you say. And immediately, while he yet spake, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how that he said unto him, before the rooster crow this day, thou shalt deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. Now John 21, verse 15. So when they had broken their fast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, lovest thou me more than these? He said that to him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again a second time, Simon, son of John, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, tend my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of John, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you wanted to. But when you shall become old, you shall stretch forth your hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. Now this he spake, signifying by what manner of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. And now Acts chapter 1. Verse 3. It says that our Lord showed himself alive after his passion by many proofs appearing unto them by the space of 40 days and speaking the things concerning the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, said he, you heard from me. For John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days hence. They therefore, when they were come together, asked him, saying, Lord, dost thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath set within his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and under the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful that you tell us the whole truth about your people. Let us know that when men would be admired, they tell good things about themselves, but our God, they hide the bad things. We are thankful that you tell us the bad things as well as the good things about all of your choice servants in the Word of God. You told us the truth about David, the man after your heart, and you've told us the truth about Peter as well. And so help us this morning to understand this man, his progress as a pilgrim and his regression as a pilgrim and his repentance. Undertake for us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I could wish that all Christian pilgrimage was always forward. But I would like to see the hand of anyone here who has never gone backward as a Christian. Then you understand about regression as well as progression. I told you that the Savior, the first time Peter was introduced to our Lord, spoke good things about him. He said, You are Simon, the son of John, you shall be called Peter. And months later, in Matthew 16, when the Savior said, Whom do you say that I am? And Peter said, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, after all of that promise and all that waiting, at last the Savior said, You are Peter. I told you that you would be called Peter, and now I call you Peter. Thank God for this. And he said, And I give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you open shall be open, whatsoever you shut shall be shut. Whatsoever things, and he goes on and tells him all the other privileges that are his as Peter. You say, well, that is progress. And what is so sad is that God reveals to us the soul of this man And I would not have you to know as much about me as God told us about Peter. But when Peter first met the Lord as a fisherman in Luke 5, and the Lord told him to go out into the deep and let down for a draught of fishes, he did that. And there were so many fishes caught that Peter was overwhelmed, and he fell at the knees of our Savior, and he said, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." And so he tells at first what he is, a sinful man. If you have ever been introduced to the Savior, the first thing that you confess is this, "I am a sinful man." Look at Job. Job said, "I've heard of you in the past," he said, "but now I've seen you," he said, "I repent." He said, "I abhor myself. I'm nothing but dust and ashes." And Isaiah, that magnificent prophet, saw the Lord. He said, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." The first thing that happened to you, if you truly were introduced to Jesus, is that you said, "I am a sinful man, O Lord." There is no such thing as a good man being saved, because Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And the first thing that Peter told the Lord when he realized that he was in the presence of this miraculous man, he said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." And every time that he talks to Peter and their failures, he encourages him. Peter is filled with fear. And the Savior says, "Fear not. From now on, you're going to catch men." Now, I want you to notice carefully the passages that I read to you. In Luke chapter 22, the Savior said, "You're going to deny me three times." Well, if I knew that about a man, I would say, "And you are not fit to serve me. Depart from me." But he said, "You're going to deny me three times. But when you are converted, strengthen the brethren." Remarkable. And at the same time, when Peter denied the Lord the three times, as he said, the Savior turned and looked at him. And Peter understood in the depth of his soul that he was a sinful man. He was not what he thought he was, but he was what the Lord told him he was. And thank God for this. He went out and wept bitterly. And so here is a repentant man. If he had sinned and hardened himself, but he understood that all the Lord Jesus spoke concerning him was true. And he said, "I'm a sinful man." And the Lord Jesus said, "You are a sinful man, and you are a cowardly man. And you're going to deny me, and you're going to tell lies about me. All of these things are true concerning you, Simon." But he said, "Not so, Lord." But when the Lord turned and looked at him, he knew that everything the Lord said about him was true. And so you, as a pilgrim, beware not of the progress, but of the regression in your life as a pilgrim. What is so sad is this. In Matthew 16, as soon as Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," he was the spokesman, the voice of God the Father. "Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven." And immediately after that, when the Savior said, "I have to go and be crucified, I have to die for the sins of the world," Peter said, "Lord, be it far from thee. This shall never be unto thee." And the Savior said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." He was the voice of Satan right after he had been the voice of God. And that's why when I look at Christians, and with boldness and with braveness you say, "I will never forsake the Lord. I will never deny the Lord. This comes to mind. How soon we fail after we speak. A dear friend of mine, Clayton Davis, was telling me when he was going to State College, he was speaking to some men, something like this. And he said, now, some of you will be tempted in some ways, and I could be tempted in some ways. He said, some of you will be tempted by alcohol. He said, but I have never been tempted by alcohol. That has no power over me at all. And somehow an occasion arose that very day, and someone offered him a glass of alcohol, and not realizing what he had said, he drank that alcohol. And then it smote him. He said, I've just done what I said I would never do, what I would never be tempted to do. And suppose the Lord had said, Peter, you've just been the spokesman of God. The next time you speak, you will be the spokesman of Satan. What do you think Peter would have said? Not so, Lord. But what happens is that Peter has seen his shortcomings, his failure. And my encouragement is this, that if God would restore and forgive and use a man who with oaths and curses swore to God he never knew Jesus 3 times, if he can restore a man and use that man, then he can restore my soul and use me. That's the beauty of Psalm 23. Not only the Lord is my shepherd, but it says, he restoreth my soul. And here is what you must understand. How many times have you been converted? I've been converted again and again and again. You say, a man can only be saved once. I did not say, I've been saved again and again and again. I said, I've been converted. Because conversion initially is when you get saved. But after that, a conversion and a repentance and a turning around, that is when you confess your sins as a Christian. And this is what the Lord said to Peter, when you are converted. He had already been converted. But now, when you are converted, when you've done an about face from the sin that you are committing as my child, he said, strengthen thy brethren. And so I hope you've had many conversions. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when you do that, when you confess your sins as a child of God, he forgives and restores your soul. And you have been converted again, not saved again. You're saved once and for all for eternity. But when you sin, your fellowship is broken with the Father and you need to be converted and restored to the Father. And I'm wondering this. The Apostle Paul never forgot what he was before he trusted Christ. And he keeps denigrating himself. He says, I am the least of the apostles. He said, I am less than the least of the saints. He said, I am the chief of sinners. But Peter never said that. Peter never mentioned in his epistles, you tell me if you can find it, and I denied the Lord 3 times, and I'm unworthy to write to you at all about it. He never mentioned it. And when the Lord restores his soul, the Lord never mentions the sin that he had committed. He didn't have to. He simply looked at Peter in John 21 because in Luke 22, when he denied him 3 times, all the Lord did was this. He turned and looked at him. But that wasn't the end of it, because as soon as in John 21 they have eaten, the Lord calls him and says, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And Peter, without saying, oh God, I failed you so miserably, all he says is, Lord, you know that I love you. And he accepts that because he says, feed my lambs. When he told Peter he was going to deny him three times, he said, when you are converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Lord, you know that I love you. And he accepts it. He says, feed my lambs. Simon, do you love me? Lord, you know that I love you. He said, take care of my sheep. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. He said, all right, then feed my sheep. How many times did he deny the Lord? Three times. And the Lord makes him confess his love for him three times. And I would have doubted that love, but the Lord does not doubt it. And Peter says, I put it to your omniscience. You know all things. You know that I love you. And the Lord evidently said, yes, I do. And so take care of my sheep. That is what is so beautiful. That Peter, who sinned grievously, was not alone. There were so many verses I wanted to read you, but this is what it said. That Peter was the one who was prominent in denial, but it said every one of the apostles, twice it says, they all forsook him and fled, every one of them. And none of these apostles ever say anything about their forsaking the Lord and fleeing from him. Think of this. Our Lord started out trying to convert the world with 12 failures. When he died on the cross, all had forsaken him and fled. They had all proved to be cowards. They were unworthy of the Savior. And so you say, well, there can be no Christianity. You would think that. But that is why I read to you in Acts chapter 1. After the Lord has been preaching to them, he appeared to them for 40 days after his resurrection. He spoke to them things concerning the kingdom of God. And after this, he went back to heaven. And this is what he promised. He said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. Before, the Spirit of God had been with them. But now the Spirit of God was going to permanently indwell them. And he was going to empower them. Because he said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses. And that is what happened. And what is so remarkable is this. That after the failure of Peter, the most prominent individual in Acts 1 through 12 and then in chapter 15 is Peter. In chapter 6, you have Stephen introduced and 7, magnificent, and 8, Philip is introduced, but all the other chapters at times speak of Peter and John. But Peter is always the spokesman. And after this great failure, he suddenly becomes illumined in a way that you are not illumined. Tell me this, any brother here, tell me where it speaks of the failure of Judas Iscariot and what is to be done after he's failed. Some brother tell me where that's found in the Old Testament. Peter knew it immediately. He found it in Psalm 69 and in Psalm 109. He was able to collate these two together. He said, he's failed, he is out, and another man is to take his place. Remarkable. And this is Peter. And yet Peter knew those scriptures, and not one brother here knew them. I knew them because I looked them up. Now, after that, having explained what is to be done after the failure of Judas, on the day of Pentecost, a marvelous thing happens, and the people are wondering what has occurred. And Peter tells him immediately. Now tell me, what four scriptures does Peter use explaining what happened in Acts chapter 2? Some brother tell me. Peter knew immediately. He said, it's Joel 2. It is Psalm 16. It is Psalm 132. And it is Psalm 110. He knew all of those scriptures. He knew that they were applicable and they were prophecies concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I said, well, praise God that Peter was raised up and restored, because he knew things that they did not know at one time. Let me tell you this incidentally. You'll find, without being mentioned, in John chapter 2, Psalm 16, when the Savior said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. It said the disciples didn't understand what he was talking about at first, but after his resurrection they understood. But now on the day of Pentecost, Peter brings out Psalm 16 and he says, this is the death and resurrection of Christ. It cannot apply to David. Peter knew that. And when the Spirit of God came from heaven, it was not the primary, but the introductory occurrence of Joel chapter 2. And Peter knew that. And he knew about Psalm 16. And he knew about the promise that the Father had given that of David's children, someone would sit upon his throne. And also, he knew the promise of the Father in Psalm 110. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. And then he said, God hath made Jesus both Lord and Christ, this man that you have crucified. Now, that's the man that 50 days before denied with oaths and curses that he ever knew the Lord Jesus Christ. And now this man is standing up and he is giving an exposition of Joel and Psalm 16. And also he could be referring to Psalm 89 and 2 Samuel 7. Suddenly he knows all of these things and I rejoice. And that's why I believe in the inspired word of God, not as liberals who say this has been put together as best they are from papers written by others. The Lord Jesus said, after I am resurrected, after I am glorified, it said, the Spirit shall bring to your remembrance all things that I've spoken unto you. And if I believe that this book was put together by men, I would reject it as inspired, because not one of you, when I get through speaking, will be able to put together everything that I've told you this morning, all the scriptures that I've told you. But if the Spirit of God brings it to your memory, you say, of course, I can remember it now. And do you think that Peter of himself is able to do all these things and remember all these things? The Savior said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. And Peter preached powerfully, with a power that was beyond him. And this, the Lord Jesus told him in Luke 5. He said, fear not, from now on you're going to catch men. And if Peter was amazed at the draught of fishes in Luke 5, Peter preached one brief message on the day of Pentecost, and he caught 3,000 men. He did not catch that many fish when he let out into the deep. And the Savior told him, he said, from now on, you will catch men. Why, if I preach a message and one soul is saved, or one soul is moved, thank God for that. But Peter preaches, and the Lord Jesus told him, I'm going to make you a fishers of men. He said, from now on, you will catch men. And so, child of God, your progress, thank God for it. Your regression, well, do not think that something is wrong and that you are a complete failure if it happens. Because in our pilgrimage, we have progression and we have regression. But by God's grace, let there be more progress than regress. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, We are thankful that not because of what we are, but in spite of what we are, you forgive us and love us and use us. And we are thankful that you will allow those whose lips have been used by Satan, whose lips have cursed and used oaths that they did not know you, that you would allow those lips to speak your precious name, Savior. And so, our God, we confess our shortcomings, our failures. As Peter said the first time, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." You know that we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Our God, we know that. But the grace of God is greater than all our sin. And so, having saved our souls, keep us faithful to thee and use us, our God. And let our lips be those of the Father and of the Spirit and not of Satan and of the things of the world. Our Father, let us be faithful unto thee, and let us be able to say, not with sorrow as Peter did as confession, but as some of us this morning said, "Lord Jesus, we love you. Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." May that be the confession of every heart here, and may we all be found faithful, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The meeting is over.